sitting down and I was thinking about the goodness of God, and I will include some of what we already talked about in the message. Getting to spend the day with my grandkids, and then spend the day, the first part of the day, and the day before with Nellie and her goddaughter, and just seeing and feeling the goodness of God all around me. Everything is falling into place. Everything is falling into place. From my social media, God told me, he said, "You guys, you better get ready because it's going to explode for the new year." And I was like, "I already know." And I was in prayer, sleeping. I was down there on the couch, watching TV, and fell asleep. Well, that's my sleeping place. And of course, the couch here is a love seat, so it's like my feet go over the top of it. But it's not uncomfortable. It's very comfortable. I enjoy it. They say put to sleep with your feet raised anyway, so it works for me just fine. And I was there, and the Holy Spirit like rested on me, and his presence was strong, and he began to just minister to me to begin to speak what I desire. And of course, I began to speak about our relationship, my relationship with him, and how I wanted it to be better and stronger. And he said, "Okay, we got all of that. That's good. I've put desires in you. I want you to begin to speak them." So I began to speak the dreams, the plans, the promises, the expectations. Are you listening to me? I began to speak them. But I wasn't speaking them from a place of emotion or flesh. It was pouring out of my spirit. It was like he opened a jar for me to speak the things that have been planted in me and planted in you, if you take this for yourself, or our whole lives. But now I was speaking it from a place of not just praying or believing, but I was speaking it from a place of knowing, and that it was, because it wasn't coming from me. He was giving me the desires of my heart. He was putting them in me. And what he was doing was he was opening up the lid or the door to my spirit to allow me to now speak his provision or desire for me, but out of my mouth. And I just quietly laid there, and I felt the presence so strong. And as I began to speak it, hear me close, I realized I was pouring out of my spirit into the realm of the spirit. And I mean, I can say I never finished a prayer and felt like it was done like I felt that day. And I got up and I said, "Wow, this is going to be a powerful season that I'm stepping into." And like, I know it, I sense it. And he gave me the word for 2025, which I got on the call with Edward and Nellie and shared. So, Edward, you happened to get in on the end. I mean, right after I had finished that prayer time, you had called, and that presence was strong. And so the word for the year, how many people want the word for the year? Celine, where'd you go? Come back, Cletus. Okay. So the word for the year, right, 2025, was, this is the year of dynamic explosion for those who lined up with God's instruction. So this is the year of dynamic explosion. And I felt it that morning. Boy, did I feel it. For those who lined up with God's instruction. So basically what he was saying is, last year was the year of what? Who remembers? Unmute and say it, Ruth.
Opportunity.
Last year was the year of opportunity. And what was it the year before? You remember? Anybody? Celine?
No, I was saying, was it the year of surprises?
No. That was years ago.
Limitless
That's the
opportunities.
opportunity was last year. I mean, this year, 2024. 2023 was what? Preparation. 2022 was preparation. 2022 was preparation. I mean, 2023 was preparation. 2024 was opportunity. And then he said, dynamic explosion for those who prepared and then sought out the opportunities. And for those who put those in place, this year was going to be the year of dynamic explosion. Now, for me, I dragged my feet for a while, but I knew that I had to get into social media, even though I didn't want to. I knew I had to make some moves to finalize some paperwork and finally sever myself from the old life. I knew I had to, for that season, do without everybody from my yesterday so that God can set up my today and then bring my yesterday in a line with where I'm going now. Did that make sense? Did I explain? Was that clear? So sometimes you got to walk away from everything in your current circle and life so that God can set you up so that when He brings it back, you're in a different place. Other than that, asking God to restore something when you have not yet been put in your right place, you'll just take everything and put it back on the shelf that He took it off of. You know, if you look, think of a decoration, right? Who bears witness what I'm talking about? Like you say, God, something's all set up on your shelves or pretty, your figurines, and God says, no, I'm going to take them all down. And then you're not healed. When He gives them back to you, you're going to put them right back on the shelf the way they were. But you let God finish dealing with you when He comes back, and when He comes back to your life and He gives them to you again, you'll go, well, you know what? I really don't even need this one. Let me just give this one. I'm going to throw this out. You know, the way you're looking at it is so different. You approach things with a different power and a different energy. And so the year of opportunity, the year of preparation, the year of opportunity, was the chance for me to step away from everything that I held dear. So when people look at me now and say, wow, you're so much more peaceful. Wow, you're such a more understanding. Wow, you're so much more of this. I'm like, yeah, because I'm not looking at the glass half empty anymore. I'm looking at the glass totally full, right? And I'm seeing that my cup runneth over, and I'm ready to dump this cup if God needs me to start fresh with a new cup. Somebody say amen. That's big. So because of that, I've become a different person and a different individual. Watch what I'm about to say. This is important. So that God can now take you and put you almost sometimes right back in the same circumstance or situation, but the you is not the same. So the circumstance then lines up with you. I hope you all caught that. Right? Well, Celine got it. Amen. It's God will pull you out of a situation, work on you, get you where He needs you to be. Then He won't put you back in it. But even when you come around it, the you and what you attract out of that same situation is so different that you go, wow, so I was sitting right in the pool of where my blessings probably could be, but because I was ill-equipped, I couldn't receive what it was God had for me. That sounds like a YouTube posting for me if there ever was one. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The title of the message today is How Much More? And God spoke to me, and He brought this back to me. He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know that's the scripture. He said, but if you don't identify with or know what you have, even if I give it to you, you will never see the blessing in it. You'll never see it. You can't. You don't have the ability to even see the value in what's in your hand. Who's hearing me today? Who's receiving this today? So the power is yours. The power is mine. But because I won't let God equip me, I keep kind of trying to make God bless where I am and who I am. I never get to see the full potential of what God is doing. So God said, I'm going to pull you back. I'm going to sit you on the side. I'm going to let you heal and rest. And then I'm going to bring you right back to where you left. And all of a sudden, you're going to look around you and you're going to see opportunities that you never saw before. You're going to see blessings that you never saw before. You're going to see doors that you never saw before. This is big. So, a couple of weeks ago, we went over Proverbs 16. I just want to take one verse from that for now. And we're going to walk through that, and then we'll go through the verse for today. Proverbs 16, 3. We're going with 3. We did the whole thing, but we're going to go through 3. Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them to Him totally, and He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So let's go with what God's showed me. Don't roll the works that you don't have on the Lord. Don't roll the works that you wish you had on the Lord. Don't roll the works that you feel are not working and wish were working on the Lord. Roll the works that you presently have and have submitted to Him on Him. So, what am I saying again by this verse that I never saw before? What's in your hand? What has He already given you? What already surrounds you? What opportunities and gifts and settings has He already put on you? We always praying for God to bless us with something new or something different, and God is doing a new thing and all this kind of stuff. And God's like, yeah, I'm doing a new thing with what I gave you. You have everything that pertains in life and godliness. Somebody say an amen to that. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Say it. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything I need is in my spirit and around me right now. If the thing's not there, the opportunity to get to the thing is there. If the people are not there, the steps you need to take to get you to those people is right here, right now. It's here. Somebody say it's here. It's here. You have it. I keep praying and praying and praying about this. Well, how long do you have to pray about something before you realize that the answer to that prayer has been no? It's been no. No is an answer to prayer. It's no, right? So then you say, okay, God, then what am I doing? And usually you say, remember that thing that you started that I told you to do, and you started doing it and it didn't go the way you want and you quit? Yeah, go back and do that. Go pick that back up and go do that. Roof laughing, Roof, you bear witness, right? Like, just go pick it back up because that's what I told you to do, right? So he's saying, take your works, whether they're working good, are they not working the way you think they should, or whatever. Roll them over on him. Watch this. Because he thoughtfully cares for you. He wholly cares for you. And he'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. So, what are we saying? The works you have are not working the way they should because your thoughts are not in agreement with his will. It's not the works that you have, is that your thoughts about them are not agreeable with his will. You ever got frustrated and angry and anxious about something that God, you know, God's called you to do, and like this thing is just causing me all kind of frustration and calling me all kind of this and just this, and you're starting to cuss it and speak against it and saying all kind of stuff. And God is like, okay, your thoughts are not agreeable with my will when it comes to this. Let me give you an example. Let me use me. Roof, you're gonna get a kick out of this one. I remember when I finally said, it's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me to close the church. Roof said out loud during the message, yeah, you've been saying that for years. I love you for your honesty, but you know, out of the mouth of babe, she just called me. And I said, remember what I said? I said, no, this time I'm serious. Was I serious? Yeah, I was serious. But that leading had been sitting on me and spoke to me and prophesied over me for over a decade almost. And I heard it And I knew it and I received it. And one day, hallelujah, after God blesses the church and blows the church up, and we're worldwide and reaching the nations, then he gonna pull me out and send me around. God's like, okay, so your thoughts are not agreeable with my will. So you don't push me off into someday Almighty God gonna do something. And he's like, I haven't said any of that. You got the instruction, but your thoughts, come on, somebody, are not in agreement with my will. The way you think it's supposed to be done is going to be done is not in agreement with my will. So your desire may be right, but somebody say, my thoughts have to be agreeable with his will. So I'm growing up, I'm learning some things, I'm becoming a big boy once again. And I said, so in this season of my life, especially for the past year, I've been, God, I can't even say the past year, maybe past 6, 8 months. Whatever you're doing is okay with me. Whatever you're planning makes sense to me. Even if it makes absolutely no sense, it makes sense to me. Can somebody bear witness with what I'm saying today? Even if I don't understand a thing you're doing, what makes sense to me is I know that you know what you're doing. So when he told me to take this new apartment, I said, I was trying to get out of paying 3 grand a month. You told me to sign the lease. I did. Now I'm in lease to July. And now you tell me go get another apartment when I'm still paying for this one? That doesn't make sense. And I felt myself starting to go through trepidation. And I prayed and he said, do you believe I told you to do it? Yes. He said, then that should be your only reality. And how it's going to come together doesn't matter. Now, he told me how it was going to come together, but I went to the person with the concept and they went totally against it. So I said, well, you know what? It can't matter right now. Because what matters right now is one thing and one thing only, that I'm in obedience and agreement with your will, and nothing else can matter at this point. You follow what I'm saying? So, watch this. I came to a place of peace about it being rolled over into the Lord's hands. You with me? I came to a place of peace about it being in the Lord's hands. Watch this. With no understanding, no financial change, nothing lining up any different than what was in front of me, I became very happy and ecstatic about my new place and moving in there and not worrying about that place. If it sits empty until the Jesus come back and I have to keep paying rent, then he will provide whatever it is he wants to do. He would do it. And then I get a phone call today that the plan that I originally proposed, everybody's in agreement and wants to do it now. So even in that, I didn't get excited. I said, okay, well, I'm still riding the high of I got to hang out with my grandkids, right? Everything else is just, it's just frosting and cherries, on the top of the sundae. Like, I'm so good with what God has done. I'm just looking at my life at the simplest things. Like the Christmas picture that Nellie and I took and she sent out to everybody with Merry Christmas on it. And the reality hits me that, wait, I never took a Christmas picture before. I never did that before. Small things like that, little joys that just kind of got away while I was always looking for something or happiness somewhere, instead of letting the Lord show me peace and happiness within. Somebody can say amen to that. So watch this. And let's bring it home. Let's bring it home because this is important. Go with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. You've heard this before. But now I'm going to bring it home from a different place. It says, what father? Because fathers are supposed to be providers, but now fathers and mothers provide. So I'll say, what parent among you, if his son or daughter asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Any takers? Parents, aunts, uncles ask you for food to eat, you give them a rock, say, eat that. Well, make sure we understand. He didn't say you asked for a slice of bread and you gave him a stone. Bread means food, sustenance, a meal. What parent, what decent human being amongst you, if a child asks you for something to eat, would give them a rock and say, eat that. Suck on that rock. That's your food. Atrocious, isn't it? Watch this. And if your child asks for a fish, instead of a fish, you would give him a serpent, a snake. Or if he asked you for an egg, you would give him a scorpion. So it's like each suggestion or substitution, I don't know if you're noticing it, is getting worse and worse. A meal, a rock. That's not good. What kind of parent would do that? He said, well, let me make it even worse so you get it. He asked you for a fish and you give him a snake. Okay, well, some people like snakes. Okay, all right. All right, well, let's go here then. He asked you for an egg and you give him a scorpion. There's no way you spin in that, right? Scorpion could kill you, it's deadly. So Jesus made sure he broke it down. Okay, for those of you who like rocks, maybe some of you like rocks. Okay, what about, oh, some of you like snakes? Okay, what about an egg and you give him a scorpion? Okay, there you go. Very, very high contrast here. So he's letting you know this is something that no normal-minded, loving person would do to a child. And I want you to understand, he's not saying if an adult asks and you give it to an adult. He said, as an adult, would you, as an adult, would you do something like that to a child? There's a contrast being made here, and there's a pull on the father's heart, or of the heart of a father that's being illustrated here. And that's why I didn't want to just read this and jump through it. The illustration of a father's heart is being pulled on here. Somebody said to me, who I won't name, yesterday, you know, there's times I wish you was my dad. And boy, that was such a beautiful birthday thing for me to hear. And I said, you know, it's funny. It's like so many other people wish I was their dad, and then sometimes like my own kids wish I wasn't. Like, you know, what you gonna do? You know, I can say that now and laugh. Where in the past I would be all heartbroken about it. But again, count those who for you, not who's against you. And I'm not saying my kids are against me anymore, but I'm saying it changed because I stopped counting and looking for love from people who didn't seem to have it to give. I begin to receive the love from those of you who continually give me love. Listen, I get enough love from this crew right here that if nobody else don't want to show me no love, I'm good. And then I got out here in the chamber and I started getting all this love out here in Lehigh Valley. Then I moved to Florida and then all these kids adopted me and brought me in as a father figure. And I'm like, man, I get love everywhere I go. I don't need to be trying to make the ones who don't love me love me. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying to you today. I know I went back, but don't spend your life trying to get people and circumstances and situations to line up with your heart. Ask them to line up with God's heart. You're better off that way. You hear what I just said? That's a word right there. As they say, drop a comment if it spoke to you, right? But no, that's a word right there. So the father's heart, he wouldn't give you a rock for food, he wouldn't give you a snake for fish, and he sure wouldn't give you a deadly scorpion for an egg. Now, then he goes back. If you then, being evil, or as the King James says, of evil nature, evil tendency, I mean, as the original Greek says, know how to do good and give good gifts that are to their advantage to your children. good gifts and gifts that are to their advantage. In other words, listen close to me. You're listening to me as parents. Got some parents on here. Good gifts and gifts that are to their advantage. And this is why I like the Amplified. How many of you have give good gifts to your kids, godchildren, nieces, nephews, good gifts that are to their advantage? How many? Students, whatever. You have given good gifts that are to their advantage. Can I see some hands? Yeah, I know. Right. Absolutely. Ready? I'm gonna add a twist to it. Even when they didn't like it or want it. See, that's the God part right there. Come on, wake up. I'm talking to you now. God gonna give you good gifts to your advantage, even when you don't like it or want it. I don't want to eat that. Well, you go eat it. It won't be a rock. It won't be a serpent. It won't be a scorpion. Doggone it. You're going to sit down. You're going to take these vegetables because you need these for to be strong enough to take you where I'm going to take you. So, yes, you're going to eat it. Separate yourself from them people. But they my friends and they my family. Separate yourself from them. I don't want. No, you. Well, then you're not going. Then you don't get to go out then. You're going to stay in your room. You ain't gonna grow. You ain't gonna go to the next level of your walk and your faith because you need to be able to be strong enough for where I'm taking you to be able to deal the way I need you to deal. So I'm telling you right now, eat this. I'm telling you right now, take this. One of the biggest arguments I used to have with one of my students, mentees, is they got money and they want to live now. And I'm like, but you're spending ridiculous money. Like, this is ridiculous. The way you live is ridiculous. How much money you got in the bank? Nothing. So every dime you get, you give using to support this lifestyle. Yeah. Well, what happens when you can't support that lifestyle? So you got to drive a BMW. I'm driving a Ford. Are you serious? Like, what's wrong with you? No, but you know. Okay, would tease me because I was wearing Walmart sneakers. All right, well, I'm wearing Walmart sneakers, but I got cash of over $500,000 in the bank. What you got? Well, things changed and money wasn't like it was. And all of a sudden, what I was sharing looked real delicious right now. You'll take any place to live right now, won't you? So reality kicks in. I said, watch this, listen to me close. Delayed gratification, we did a post, means blessings tomorrow. Or you live to the fullest now, and tomorrow you have nothing. It's a choice. It's a choice. So, hear me out. God is saying, I'm teaching you that I will give you your sustenance. It doesn't mean you're always going to agree with it or like it or think it's going the way you want it to go. I ain't talking about suffering and pain and sickness and disease and all that church religious bull crap. I'm talking about the things that you know God is saying to you. In order to get here, I need you to surrender this. And if you can't do that or can't hear, well, then that's because your mind is clouded with what you want to do. Didn't get an amen, a head nod, a smile, a smirk, or nothing on that. That's okay. It's still the truth, though. Still the truth. So, in the year of preparation, in the year of opportunity, I thought, man, you're going to give me the opportunity to close all kind of deals and all the kind of, said, well, a little bit of that. But I'm gonna give you the opportunity to change your spirit and say no to some things and accept the rejection of some deal. I went almost every deal I tried to do last year, almost every one of them in real estate fell through. Literally, every one of them, great deal, fell through. Like, God, what is this? He said, how you feel? I feel rejected. Okay, and I don't like rejection. I know. This is what I'm dealing with in your life right now. Remember? Didn't you tell me to free you from the fear of rejection? Yeah, well, here you have it. I'm gonna give you a whole bunch of it so you can learn to live with it and be okay. See, people, see, I'm getting a lot of applause on this, but it's all good. It's still the truth. He said, how do you feel being rejected? I don't like it. Yeah, but before you was crushed. Yeah. Then you went from I don't like it. Yeah. Now you're to the point I don't even care. I welcome it. And that's why I did that video. If you have to go through 250 no's to get and knew that on the 251 you would get $1 billion, you would attack those no's. Look, get mad if somebody said, yeah, no. Yes, I need some more no's, right? And so that reality is, watch this, children. That reality is God is feeding you what's necessary, but please get out of this church religious hocus pocus bull crap that everything he's feeding you, you're gonna want to eat. And everything he's gonna walk you through, you're gonna take it with open arms and smile and dance. Again, it won't be sickness, it won't be disease, it won't be that. But it, boy, it will challenge your spiritual character. Somebody say spiritual character. It will challenge your spiritual character so that when he puts the things on you, you won't be like a fool who receives wealth in a bag with holes in it. But you'll be able to retain. Stop asking God to give you more when he can't get you to manage what he's giving you now. He's not going to give you more. I'm not going to increase your credit line so you can run up more debt. This is a stupid prayer. I'm not going to give you more money so you can continue to live beyond your means and still wind up in a hole and then still think I'm not blessing you enough. It makes no sense. Ooh, it's getting a little stiff. I feel a little, oh, even over the internet, I can feel a little, the room getting a little stuffy right now. But I'm telling you the truth. So he says he's going to give you what you ask for, but he's also going to give you those things that are necessary for sustenance, necessary for survival. So he said, if you being of evil nature could do these good things, how much more will I do for you as a father? Wait, stop, stop. Let's hear this out. Not how much more stuff, not how much more things. If you're going to feed your kids, which was right, and you're going to correct them and get them on the right path, how much more of that are you going to get from me? You're going to feed your kids and teach them the way to go based on your insight and your understanding and your limited knowledge. And he's going to correct you based on his unlimited, vast knowledge, which is going to challenge your little minute thinking. It's going to introduce concepts and things to you and structures and scenarios that just go beyond who you are. Babies, embrace it. Take it to your heart. If you didn't seek out the opportunities the right way, if you didn't do the preparation, start now. You got a few more days for New Year's. You good. It don't take forever to get it done. It's just a change of thought and a change of mind and a change of attitude. He's saying, I will give you that which is necessary for your sustenance and for your growth. I didn't say you're going to love all of it, but I'm going to give it to you. Now I'm going to ask by a show of hands real quick as we wrap up. How many of you can honestly say, yeah, God has challenged me in some ways in the past year that I'm like, I don't want that. Can't we do that another way? It would be easier for me if it just flowed like this. You understand? But can you see now the preparation? You detach. You say, okay, God, have it your way. Because you know what I need in a way that I don't. And you understand me in a way that I don't. And you understand the workings of the universe and what you're doing in the way that I don't. But he's given me in these past painful years, emotionally painful, because that's all it was. There was no sickness and disease. But in the course of that, my body got healed. In the course of that submission, no more high blood pressure, no more prostate crap, none of that. Healed me, restored me, My youth, like the Eagles, I'm younger now than I've probably been in decades. I remember I was in the gym and I was physically stronger, but I was always an emotional wreck, and my outside eventually get lined back up with my inside. Oh, can we have a real conversation? It's messed up to get delivered out on the outside and your inside is still a mess. All them times I went through all of this stuff to lose weight only to put it back on. Why? Because I was still fat on the inside. I still was broken on the inside. My inside and self-esteem was still a piece of crap, needing people's approval and love, quote unquote love, for me to feel like I'm somebody. Now I don't need that. I don't need it. I'm good. I'm blessed. And my outside and the glow and everything on me is lining up. Like I think I told you, to a couple of people asked me at the last meeting, am I using Botox? Which I thought was a heck of a compliment, right? And I'm like, Botox, isn't that for women's lips? I don't even know what people, oh no, they put it in your forehead for wrinkles. I'm like, I'm black, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about why. Did you not hear the saying, the old saying? Have you not heard it? But I digress. My point is, my youth is being renewed like the Eagles, and my last days are truly greater than my first. And I'm happier now than I've been in my whole life. Apart from my children being born, I don't ever remember feeling like this. So I'm saying to you, if I can't be anything but an example of that, look at me now. Look at me now. I'm blessed. And I am not talking about financially. I'm talking about there's a peace within that flows without. The joy of the Lord is truly my strength. I am so excited about this new year. Anticipation is just popping all out of every part of me. I dream in Technicolor. Like I dream the future that God is showing me. It's there. And if he'll do it for me, and he's no respecter of persons, he'll do it for you. And if you ask him for food, and if you ask him for fish, and if you ask him for an egg, and if you, being of evil nature, will do what you need to do to make sure your children have what they need mentally, emotionally, and physically, how much more, how much more? And that's the question, and I'll answer it. Exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask, think, or even dare to imagine. That's how much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Happy New Year.